Good morning and welcome to worship with the people of Holly Grove Lutheran Church in Lexington, North Carolina. We are grateful for your presence among us today. We have got quite a few announcements today, as well as a few things to pray over. The first is that last Sunday, February 28th, Bill Roberts died, and we held his graveside service here on Tuesday, March 2nd. Please continue to hold his family in your prayers. Tomorrow night is our council meeting, which will be held in the fellowship hall. Worship and music is meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock, correction from the bulletin, at 4 o'clock at the office complex. We are continuing to have drive-through communion following our Sunday worship services. So please, after the service is over, come drive through the parking lot to receive the bread and the wine from 11:45 to 12:30. We are offering Wednesday evening Lenten services online. The links are available in two ways each Wednesday, one on Facebook, and two, we are sending out emails to our email list here at Holly Grove. If you or someone you know are not on that email list, please reach out to us and let us know. We are trying to streamline a little bit more clearly the way that we communicate with folks, and so if you're not able to receive those emails for one reason or another, please let us know. We have several birthdays this week. Chloe Gabriel, Michael Wilson, Lindsay Black, Alex Chapman, and Carson Rose. Let us pray for these brothers and sisters. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have a few cards and letters to read. The first is from Pastor Joseph Talent. He writes, "We very much appreciate the going away gift basket. We have and continue to enjoy it very much. Thanks also for the drawing of the building. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to serve at Holly Grove and pray for God's blessings on you as you move forward. In Christ's love, Pastor Joseph and Pat Talent." From the Crisis Ministry of Davidson County, "Dear Holly Grove Lutheran Church, this letter is an acknowledgement of your donation to the Crisis Ministry. We appreciate your support to Crisis Ministry of Davidson County so that we can continue to support our homeless and needy population. You have made a difference in someone's life." And from Davidson Medical Ministries, "Dear friends, thank you so very much for your recent donation to Davidson Medical Ministries. With each donation we receive, we become all that much closer to our goal. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and donations have made it that much easier to get things done and to move us forward. We once again want to thank you for your support and for your desire to help us succeed in this venture. Thank you so very much." We also have some scarves and prayer shawls to pray for this morning. There are some scarves up here at the front of the congregation that a member who wishes to remain anonymous has knitted or crocheted for a local homeless shelter so that folks can stay warm. It still gets pretty cool in the evenings. And we have two prayer shawls up here, one for Gary and one for Judy McLean. This week, Gary underwent surgery to have one of his legs amputated above the knee, and he begins rehab tomorrow. And so we ask that you would hold them in prayer, both of them, as they are apart right now, and for Gary for strength and endurance as he goes through the hard work of learning how to walk with just one leg. And so we hope that these prayer shawls will bring them comfort and will remind them that they are surrounded in prayer by the members of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that we can create with our hands different items that others can use to feel warmth, to feel comfort, to feel surrounded in prayer. Thank you for all of these scarves that will now be donated to a local homeless shelter. May they keep individuals warm and help them know that they are loved and cared for, that they are not invisible. And God, we pray for Gary and Judy McLean and ask that you would surround and comfort both of them as Gary remains in the hospital and undergoes rehab. Comfort them as they are apart and give them the strength and endurance that they need, each of them, to go through the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. If I haven't forgotten anything, and it's possible that I have, but if I haven't forgotten anything, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I would like to offer a children's chat. So if there are any children attending worship virtually, come a little bit closer to the screen. There are so many things I miss about gathering together for worship in person, and one of those things is the children's chat. I know that you are at home and that you are listening and watching the service, but I miss you being here on the steps, and I miss getting to have a conversation with you. I know you're listening to me, but it's just different when we can't talk. And one of the things that I was thinking about as I was thinking about our children's chat is, oh my goodness, I would love to hear the things that you might share with me today as I ask a couple of questions. So the psalm for today that Mr. Conrad is getting ready to read is Psalm 19, and it's talking about how God is present to us in God's Word, that God is in God's Word, and that God teaches us and shows us about God's character and about God's actions. And one of the things that this psalm says is this: God's word is to be more desired than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey, honey in the honeycomb. And I was thinking that if you were here in person today, I'd have a jar of honey. My friend has several bees in her backyard. She's a beekeeper, and she makes her own honey with those. And she's given me a brand new jar of honey that's delicious. I've only used it a couple times, but I like to put honey in my tea. When I make bread for communion, I love to put honey in the bread to make it a little bit sweeter, because I think when we say at the communion table, taste and see that the Lord is good, we should be able to taste that with our taste buds. And so I would have a big jar of honey here, and I would ask you, what are some of the things that you eat or drink honey with? And so maybe you would say tea, or maybe you've seen your parents have tea with some honey. Maybe you make some bread with it. Do you put honey on some of your toast? Or maybe some of the cereal that you eat has honey in it? Well, the reason that we use honey for cooking and for baking is that it's so sweet and so purely sweet, and it's just absolutely delicious. Well, back in the time when the Psalms were being written, which was many, many years ago, honey was really rare. People couldn't just go into the grocery store and decide which one they wanted on the shelf. It was rare, and there were some people who probably never even got to have honey one time in their whole life. And so this psalm is talking about how God's word is much more wonderful than fine gold, and it's much, much sweeter than honey. So honey would have been one of the most sweet things that people would have ever tasted here. And God's word is sweet to us. God's word, when it enters into our minds and our hearts, it changes us from the inside out. There are some people who probably think that God's word is sour and they don't like it, but I think that's probably because they don't spend a lot of time in God's word and they don't really know what God's word is saying to them. And so I would love to invite you to spend some time this week in God's word and let God's word enter into your hearts and your minds. And let yourself see how sweet and how lovely and how beautiful God's word really is. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for your word. Help us to spend time in the Bible. Please, God, let your word change our hearts and our minds so that we can see that your word is sweeter than honey. We love you, God. Amen.
The first lesson is a reading from Exodus. God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Passover. Of both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. The Jews then said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lutheran seminary I attended in South Carolina had a long-standing tradition of having a cookout every Friday night. It was a great way for the community to unwind from the week, and we'd get together with neighbors and friends. People would bring their children and their pets. There was even a fire pit that we would gather around and sit and visit. I love a good cookout. I've hosted many a cookout. Most of the time, the host would provide the meat or some kind of protein and a side or two, but then the friends or guests would bring a side or a dessert or some drinks. Some of the folks would go out to the grill and grill up the food while others would set up the tables, and typically the children would run around and play. When I first started seminary there, a few of us who were new to campus asked what we could bring to the cookouts. And we were told to bring our own plates, our own cups, our own silverware, our own napkins, our own meat or protein, and bring a side to share. I'm certain that I was unable to hide the confused facial expression because I'd never really been to a cookout where I'd brought everything for myself and just enough for myself except a side. However, one of my good buddies, who never leaves anyone guessing what he is thinking, responded, "This isn't a cookout. It's just a bunch of small picnics in the same place. You're doing this all wrong. You're doing this all wrong." I can't help but wonder if this thought, "You're doing it all wrong," reflects a thought that the disciples had and others who followed Jesus. Perhaps they were looking around at the occupancy of Rome or the poverty of the average person. Or maybe they went to the temple time after time to worship and sacrifice and pray. And finally, just as John the Baptist had promised, the Messiah had come, but not as they expected. Or probably not as they wanted either. Because instead of overthrowing the government, the Messiah was overly kind. Rather than flexing his power of authority, the Messiah faced folks' anxiety and fears with love and grace. I mean, think about Jesus' teaching, the Beatitudes, for example. Rather than the promises of getting even, Jesus promises that God will comfort and fill and name all of those who have waited through pain and suffering. This isn't the Messiah that people expected. In today's epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about a mighty God who has been revealed not in splendor, but in squalor, not on a throne, but on a cross, not through words of thunder, but through the story of everyday human voices. I can't help but wonder if the disciples ever looked at Jesus and thought, "You're doing this all wrong," which begs the question, have we ever thought, "God, you're doing this all wrong"? Have we ever thought, "God, we think you might have gotten it wrong when you told us to love neighbors as ourselves, because first of all, we want to choose who our neighbors are. We don't want you to tell us that everyone is our neighbor. And secondly, God, we think you might have gotten it wrong when you said to love others as ourselves, because we want to love ourselves better than we love others. We want to do what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And we don't want to have to consider how what we do or say or don't do or don't say isn't loving our neighbors as ourselves." Sisters and brothers, I know it might be hard to admit, but I think we can all remember a time when we have felt like God has gotten it wrong. And if those aren't enough, how about the fact that God's message of love and joy and peace and forgiveness has been left to us mortal humans to share and tell. This thought and idea is even more perplexing. God, are you sure you want us? Is this the way you want to operate in the world? Surely the God strong enough to create the world with a breath has a bigger and better and more powerful plan for saving the world and caring for the most vulnerable of us. In the verses that immediately follow this epistle lesson, which I think should have been included in today's reading, Paul writes, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, what is weak in the world to shame the strong, and what is low and despised in the world, what has very little to reduce to nothing, things that are." Brothers and sisters, what might seem like God getting it wrong is exactly where the mighty power of God is found. See, the God strong enough to create with a breath is tender enough to take on the form of a human baby. The God strong enough to create land and animals and humans is gentle enough to heal with the touch of a hand. The God strong enough to sit on a throne is loving enough to be lifted on a cross. The God strong enough to calm storms with a word is brave enough to stare death in the face and come out on the other side through resurrection. And the God strong enough to write the story of God on tablets with a finger chooses your life, your voice, your hands, your heart to tell the story of God's love and grace. Dear ones, God isn't getting it wrong. The good news is that through God's love and by God's grace, you and I are invited into this mission. We are grafted into God's story so that when we love God and love our neighbors as ourselves, when we serve the poor and tend to the meek, when we serve the hurting and feed the hungry, we are telling the story of God over and over and over again. And not only telling it with our words and our actions, but God is writing it on our hearts and on the hearts of those who come to know God through God's story of love and grace that we share. God isn't getting it wrong. God is sharing God's power with us, not so that we may boast, but that we may point to God and say, "Look at what God has done, and look at what only God can do." Amen.
believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. There is no God before you. Purify the faith of your church, that your people place their trust in nothing beside you. Your name is holy. Guide your church, that in every situation, your people's words and actions honor your name. Lord, in your mercy, the heavens declare your glory. Renew your creation. Provide leaders in the struggle for clean air and water. Protect creatures and crops that rely on healthy ecosystems. Give all people the willingness to repent when our way of life pollutes the earth and skies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Fill leaders with the foolishness of your peace, justice, and mercy. Your law defends the vulnerable. Work through legislatures, judicial systems, and systems of law enforcement to protect the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your weakness is stronger than human strength. Defend victims of crime and bring redemption to those who have harmed others. Give Sabbath rest to all who labor. Protect those who are vulnerable and give courage to all who are suffering, especially Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, the family of Bill Roberts, Harold, Michael, Neil, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, and Gary and Judy, as well as the friends and family listed in the bulletin and those we now name either on our lips or in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call us to proclaim Christ crucified. Give clarity to this congregation and our leaders so that we might follow Christ beyond our own habits and comfort. Clear out anything in our common life that would obscure the gospel or that serves our own interests. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The cross of Christ is your power for all who are being saved. Thank you for all martyrs whose witness reveals the power of the cross. Give us the same trust in life and in death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. At this time, we invite you to bring your offerings and tithes to the Lord. There are a few ways you can do that. You can text those to the number located in your bulletin. You can do it on our website, or you can mail or bring them into the church office, or you can bring them to drive-through communion this morning.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that in all times and in all places, we should give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to all, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us use our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.